First, let's take a little break from the on-the-field talk and talk about the game day experience, one of my favorite things to talk about in college football. People always ask me, you know, what do you love so much about college football as opposed to the NFL? And okay, the product might not be better than the NFL on the field, but it's the full game day experience. This is a sport that is just soaking in tradition, and that's what makes college football so great to me. And there are two gentlemen who are kind of living our dream here. Al Botta and Jared Singer from College Football Quest joining us now on the Radio Blast. All right, guys, 100, what are we up to now? 128 stadiums in college football Division I, and your goal is to get to every single one of them. How did this all start? How did it come about that you guys decided to go on this quest?
Thanks for having us first on the show.
Sure.
There's two answers to that story. First is the quick and then the long one. So the quick one was that Jared just asked me, and it just seemed like a no-brainer to do it. But the long of it was, you know, Jared, like any good bar story or drinking story, had a couple drinks and thought that he'd want to do something a little bit more important with his life. I say that quietly, as we're both married with kids.
Yeah.
Decided that he, maybe we should go to golf courses or a baseball stadium. But, you know, Jared's a smart guy. He realized that if we do college football stadiums, it would take years and we probably never finish, which, I want to say it's not a bad thing, but to be able to do this for so many years would be awesome. His wife said, if you could find someone to go with you, you can do it. And I happened to be sitting next to him. I guess I had a couple of drinks as well. And he said, do you want to go? I said, sure. So that was like early in the summer of whatever season we started. And a couple days later, we had our first flight booked.
All right. Other than having the coolest wives in the world, how did you really, was it that easy to convince the wives that you wanted to do this every fall?
Well, this is Jared. I would say that it was not easy. It more came about from the philosophy of, I don't think he's ever going to do it, so I might as well say, yeah, sure. Because Al had said, I kind of had an idea kicking around to do some sort of travel-related thing, and I had golf courses down, and I never got started. So she probably thought, yeah, this is another one of those things he's never going to start. And I think the key is, you know, when she kind of finally said yes, and Al was sitting there and said he'd do it, I think by that afternoon, we had flights booked for the first trip. So it kind of built up momentum very quickly. And then once the train started getting rolling, she couldn't kind of, back off of agreeing to it at that point.
So she called your bluff and it worked in your favor. I like that. A man who sticks to his guns.
And this time, unfortunately, this is the one that's going to take 30 years.
Right. All right. When you arrive on campus, is it a whole weekend thing? You know, what's your usual game plan to get a real good feel for the atmosphere of the town and of the campus?
Yeah, sure. We try on most of the trips to spend as much time as possible. I mean, I guess the initial thought was, you're going to visit stadiums and we'll check off a list and people think you go in and out. But it has gradually evolved into more of a weekend that each plays and a full experience for the town as well as the campus as well as the game. We do a lot of research beforehand, and we can get into how we schedule it and how we're able to pick games and what weekends. But when you get into the schedule and it's done and you pick a school, we do as much research as we can. You know, you're looking online, you have conversations with some, employees at the school, when you want to do a tour of the administration office and ask them things to see on the campus or some history, we'll network as much as we can, like on Twitter and other social media sites. And then of course just word of mouth as we're traveling around different people at different tailgates, as an example, say, have you been here? Have you been there? And we just make notes. I mean, Jared and I are just writing things down constantly of where to go. And, we've got a book that we track everything in places we eventually have to get to. We can't be biased. We've got to go everywhere. So, we take notes, but the experiences, we'll get there. We've got food plans, places we're going to eat, whether it's breakfast, lunch or dinner, places we're going to drink, whether it's, the college student, places versus just what town is known for, whether it's unrelated to students, that kind of stuff. And we make sure we get a tour of the campus, whether it's self-guided, which usually we're not very good at that. So we try and find someone that will give us a tour of the campus. And then, you get into your tailgate and your game experience, which, each one is different, but we don't need to tell you about that, how good that is.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these towns are places we're probably never going to be back to in our lives.
Right.
So it's more about trying to get as much of the experience from each location as we possibly can. And for us, that means trying to spend a full, you know, 3-day weekend, you know, depending upon how far away the travel is at each place and absorbing as much of the football and the non-football related things that there are in each place.
Well, you mentioned the differences between all the schools. If I blindfold you and drop you into the middle of a campus, can you tell immediately the difference between, all right, this is an SEC school, or this is a Pac-12 school, or this is even, you know, a MAC school? Is there very distinct differences in terms of the game day experience?
Well, aside from the game day experience, sometimes I would say the weather would give it away.
Yeah.
You know, you could argue that some of the conferences, you know, the physical appearance look very similar, but I can tell you, like, an example in the SEC, when you go to Vanderbilt, I think you feel, someone's going to slap me for saying this, but you feel like you're in an Ivy League environment.
Hmm.
Like, the school is a very nice, I mean, very well-designed campus. It doesn't feel like it's, you know, an SEC football school, which it is. But I would say it's different. Some schools, you know, it's hard to say. School by school and conference by conference is not as divided in terms of if you drop yourself in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that there are conferences, and Jared will tell you more, that the tailgate is so much more robust than others. I mean, clearly the SEC, but I'll let Jared talk about it.
I think that there's definitely a clear distinction between the large state universities and the smaller private universities. Mm-hmm. And that's very easy to tell, for all the obvious reasons. And I think there's definitely regional, differences, depending upon where you are, that go a little bit beyond the weather related. But, you know, there also are, I think some conference affiliations that give you a little bit of a sense. So I've been fairly confident that I could get pretty close on that.
Okay.
You know, if not exact. But, you know, there certainly, when you're talking about your top 25 programs, there's commonalities that run through all of them.
Give me the school that surprised you the most. Maybe the school where you were like, we're not really expecting much here, but really kind of blew you away.
Well, I have one that I think was a complete surprise to me, and that was East Carolina.
Hmm.
You know, I think it's a little bit unfair to say we had low expectations, because we probably had no expectations,
mm-hmm.
you know, when yep. we went. You know, we're two New Yorkers, which is not really the hotbed of college football. So when you go to a place like that, which is definitely, you know, fair to say is a below the radar kind of a school, you don't really know what you're going to get, and you just go. We were really blown away by the whole environment, you know, from the tailgating to the game day experience, you know, of what it had to offer. The East Carolina's tailgating could rival, you know, an ACC school or something along those lines, which we probably didn't expect, and were surprised about when we went.
Yeah, I think it was a night game, and the tailgate probably started in the 10 o'clock range. And it was a very large area and just a lot of people.
What percentage of the schools that you've visited so far would you say the game itself is secondary to the party?
Huh. The game itself.
You could say all of them.
No, the game. No, I think the game. We do enjoy the game. I mean,
yeah.
You can't say that we're not just checking the list off stadiums and saying that we were somewhere. We've run across other people who've traveled around and they leave the game at halftime and such, and they're just doing to check the game off. But I would say it's a few. When we first started, it's a small amount of schools that we would say, you know, we just want to get there and go to the party. I mean, the obvious one for me that comes to mind, the first one was Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
We were a unique experience. You know, we took a Winnebago there. We were going to stay in an overnight lock with a bunch of crazy Alabama fans, right? Because a couple of years ago, Alabama Penn State game. And I don't want to say I didn't care much about the game, but the experience was something I'd never done before. And on top of that, and the big surprise to me was I'd really never been inside a stadium with 110,000 people ever. So I had this great time in the parking lot for 3 days. And I walked in and I was sitting in the middle of 110,000 people, which you can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah.
You know, spending your time mostly in NFL stadiums when I was younger, 60,000, 70,000, big difference in the size and the scale of that kind of environment. So that was a good experience.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I guess it's a little bit of a different question if you're asking about whether that's the experience for us versus what it's like at the school. I mean, for us, the game is just one part of the overall experience. As Al said, this is not a check the box exercise for us. We're in no rush to finish, and we want to enjoy every single step of this journey. So we're trying to get the full experience every place. I think one of the schools that stands out in terms of the school being more of a party than the game was Western Kentucky, which had a very, large size tailgate. We went into the game, and what were there? Maybe a few thousand people in the game, and far more that we could see through the stadium just hanging out, partying continuously. It was almost as if it was no game, So, for us, it's one part of it. For each school, some schools, you're right, it's really all about the party and not the game. But I think that's the minority of the ones we've been at.
Well, colleges like to downplay this, and you always see these lists come out, the biggest drinking schools and the biggest party schools. And of course, the schools are going to downplay it and the media is going to hype it up. But anybody who's been to college knows, hey, come on, this is reality. This is what life is. If you had to bestow, let's say, a PhD degree on one university in terms of their partying, who would it be?
Oh, I'm going to disavow. I'll say Ole Miss by far.
That's what I thought.
I'll tell you, you hear about it, you read about it, everywhere you go, people tell you about it. And, we've been to a lot of schools, to a lot of parties, obviously a lot of tailgates, a lot of games. Yeah, sure. I'm sure it's that great. You don't really think about it until you get there. And then you're dropped into the environment, and it really is something that's so unique, and it's hard to explain. I mean, we could probably sit and talk 40 minutes just about the Ole Miss Rogue tailgate. Which begins the night before. It's just an experience, really hard to explain, but it's just very unique. I mean, there's nothing else like it. It's not a parking lot. It's not a bunch of cars backed up against curbs and barbecues sitting out there. I mean, these people, they decorate their space. This is well thought out stuff here. I mean, it's a serious tailgating. And, very friendly, very hospitable. There is a lot of drinking, but you don't see, it's not an out-of-control, rowdy type of crowd at all. So it's very enjoyable. I mean, it's, definitely my top, I don't say unexpected, but you expected it, but it couldn't be that good, but it really was. It just was unbelievable.
Yeah, they're notorious. The fact that ESPN's College Game Day finally got there for the first time last year, and we got to see it firsthand for those of us who don't travel all over and get to see it, I mean, that is sophisticated. There's chandeliers hanging, everybody's dressed up. They really are in a world by themselves when it comes to tailgating, aren't they?
When you walk into a tailgate and there's a chandelier and fine china on a table, you're in a different world.
Yeah. And fresh flowers. Fresh flowers everywhere.
It's that Southern hospitality, man. Got to feel like you're at home.
Well-dressed, yeah.
We're speaking with Al Botta, Jarrett Singer, the guys from collegefootballquest.com. They are trying to get to all, whatever number we're at, 128 Division I universities over the next, couple decades probably. As you guys have been doing this over the past couple years, you've started to get some notoriety. Now I saw the piece on USA Today. Give me the most famous person you've met so far in your travels.
Oh, wow. Famous person. I'll be honest, I haven't met someone's going to be insulted that we're going to forget famous person. I would say that there aren't many famous people. I was within a few feet of, Lee Corso at the LSU game, who really gave me some dirty looks for wanting to talk to him. I don't think I look threatening or anything, but we really haven't. We've met a lot of local personalities, which is great. I mean, we drank and had food with, the mayor of East Carolina, the town that East Carolina is in, which was interesting.
Greenville? Greenville, North Carolina?
Greenville. I mean, not truly famous, but, he was there and we got to hang out with him. We're more, I think, downstream of the famous at this point.
Yeah, I can't really think of anyone. I mean, there's certainly people that are famous to their university and their, organizations, but probably, countrywide famous, probably. I just can't think of any of that.
We've gotten to meet and have several conversations at several different occasions with some of the ADs. I mean, the AD at Ole Miss was initially at Western Kentucky. We met Ross Bjork a few times. So that's, you know, in the football community, football circles, he's a bigwig and a power guy, and will only become more so. But beyond that, you know, we're not really looking for it, I guess.
Well,
maybe we need to look harder, I guess, for some famous people.
I was going to say, I like this. You're not letting the notoriety get to your head. You're staying with the common folk. You're staying with the fans to get the true experience. I like that. I like to know you're not just in the VIP box everywhere now.
That's right. As I lose half my followers right now who think they're famous.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, well, there's certainly a difference in eating and drinking in a luxury suite as opposed to grabbing a beer out of a LSU-colored coffin as we did.
Which was awesome. Don't get us wrong.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. No, I'm actually saying it because it was a great experience. You know, when you're at a tailgate and somebody's got, you know, their cooler is an actual coffin painted in the colors of the school, that's not an experience you're going to get, you know, at a luncheon.
I think it was called the unsupervised bus.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. If there's a school you're going to get a coffin at, it's probably LSU. You know, that's there's no doubt about it. All right, let's do this. Let's construct now the ultimate game day experience. And you can't answer Ole Miss for every one of these, so just think about it a little bit. All right, give me the best town that you've been to.
The best town. I'm going to use Ole Miss. I'm going to use Oxford for my town.
Okay.
I won't use them again.
And I'll have a different one. I'm going to say Iowa City, University of Iowa.
Yeah. Oxford, for me, Oxford only because I walked out of the town saying that I could physically live there. Coming from New York City, that's a difficult, and you know that, it's difficult to say.
Yeah.
I could live there.
Yeah, that's a little bit of culture shock going from New York City to Oxford, Mississippi. Best food?
Best food was Cagle Steakhouse in Lubbock, Texas at the Texas Tech game, by far. We order food from there and we have them ship it.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, and I'm going to preface all of these by saying that the University of Florida and Gainesville is out of my rankings because I have an inherent bias being a Florida Gator.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Take yourself out of it. I appreciate that. No bias here. All right, we talked a little bit about best partying, but let's narrow it down. Best drinking school.
Best drinking school. I'm going to have to go with Penn State. I'm going to have to go with Penn State.
Mm.
And we went through all of our alcohol and I mean, people came there prepared for 4 days of nonstop. And when I say nonstop, there was no sleeping, in the tailgate lots.
Wow.
There were a lot of drunk people there. Yeah, that was the most full garbage cans I've seen after a tailgate when we left on Sunday. Of any of the schools we've been to, with Penn State.
Yeah, and I will second that. I would agree with that ranking.
I like that we got a school above the Mason-Dixon line here. I like that. That's good. That's good.
We can pick Buffalo.
No. We'll get to that. Hold on. We'll get to that. All right. You're both married men, but come on, let's be honest here. Best scenery, and I'm not talking about mountains and trees in architecture here.
Yeah, we know exactly what you're referring to there, and without going to the well too much, that to me is hands down Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
But I will give you a second one since we've used them a lot, and it's Miami of Ohio.
Ooh.
I was a little biased towards Western Kentucky. I thought that the talent there was high shoot.
I like
every
that.
One of them.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. Two schools you wouldn't expect. I like it. Most welcoming, most inviting.
Most inviting. For me, the most inviting was, no, for me, it was East Carolina.
Hmm.
You know, we had the best time there unexpectedly. We were hosted very nicely by a local radio station. And of course, who was very friendly with the mayor of the town. And they really took care of us for hours. I mean, you know, including and after the game, which was very nice. You just don't get that everywhere. You know, you get the complete opposite in some places. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And I'll go with LSU and Ole Miss. And LSU somewhat... LSU has a pretty bad reputation when it comes to welcoming opposing fans. Not that I was an opposing fan, but just from a neutral site, you know, I would put them and Ole Miss in the same category.
All right, and finally, give me best stadium experience, in-game experience.
See, I was saving LSU for this. See, that's why now you're stuck. LSU by far. And okay. That's another one where when you compare you know, you hear the tailgate about the Grove at Ole Miss, and people say that Death Valley is the hardest place to play with the best environment. It's a very unique build to the stadium, at least and from a visual perspective. When you're standing in the end zone, at least the one end zone, whichever side it is, there's like six different tiers of seats that go literally straight up from the back end zone line. So you're surrounded from the 20-yard line into the end zone. Imagine the opposing team, and it's just, you know, 50,000 or so at that end alone screaming. I mean, you can't hear or see anything. Very intimidating.
And I'll echo Al's thoughts on LSU, and I'll add two names that we haven't brought up of places that we've been.
Okay.
Nebraska was also kind of that same kind of atmosphere, and a very underrated school for volume, given the number of people that it holds, was Louisville.
Oh, interesting. I like that. Yeah. I like both those. Okay.
It's very underrated. It's only like a 50,000 seat stadium, but, and it's certainly not as loud as a Nebraska or an LSU. But for the amount of people that it had, it would rank up there.
Yeah, it was rocking.
Per capita, Louisville's bringing it. All right.
Exactly.
Yep. All right, guys, before I let you go, I got to take issue with you a little bit here. I was reading on your website your experience at Buffalo. Now, I'm not a Buffalo alum. I grew up in Buffalo. My house is 5 minutes from the stadium. Now, this was 2009. So I'm gonna tell you this. You guys gave downtown Buffalo a little bit of a bad rap, but I will say that in the past 5-6 years, there's been a big resurgence in Buffalo. And, you know, one of those being the brewing industry, because I feel like a new brewery opens up every other week in this town, which is not a bad thing. But if you guys ever want to come back to Buffalo, I will serve as your personal hosts. We'll do it upright. We'll show you the good parts of the city. It's booming right now. So there's a lot of good parts, and we will hopefully change your opinion of Buffalo.
Yeah. And you know what? That's one of the downsides of something like this. When you talk to people is, you know, we're taking a snapshot.
Yep.
It's by no means scientific. It's a snapshot, and a lot depends upon even who the team that, you know, the team is playing when you're there.
Right.
You know, gives a very different atmosphere. Like, we thought Ole Miss was great, but everyone was there said, you know, you're here on a down weekend. It's a lot quieter than it normally is.
Yeah.
You know, and those are things that are very difficult to gauge. And schools certainly improve, change. And things do change over time, but unfortunately, you know, with 128th and soon to be 129th school coming back, you know, that's just the nature of it. And, you know, looking back in 30 years when we read the Buffalo, you know, review that we have on the website, it could be dramatically different.
Yeah. Yep.
Keep in mind, in defense, it was a weeknight.
That's
so
true.
That's different.
Yep.
It wasn't the greatest weather. You know, it's not somewhere you want to be in November.
Right.
But I will say that I picked Buffalo that night.
Oh, good. And did they win?
No.
Oh, well, yeah. There's been a few bright spots on the Buffalo schedule for the past couple seasons, but yeah, there's been a lot of down ones too. Al Botta, Jared Singer from College Football Quest. Guys, thank you so much. Let everybody know where they can kind of follow your travels and read about all your experiences.
Sure. We have a website, collegefootballquest.com. We're also on Twitter at collegefbquest. And what's the other? Yours is, what is mine? collegefbquest. So,
awesome.
Yeah, but if you go to collegefootballquest.com, we have links to, you know, all the write-ups that we've talked about. We even have a rankings page of some of the topics that we've discussed, as well as additional ones, and links to our Twitter accounts and all of those fun things.
Awesome. And, you know, I forget where you guys headed this year. Give us a quick rundown.
Sure. This year we're headed to, we're going to an opening weekend doubleheader. Well, it's a Thursday, Friday. So we're going to the Central Michigan game one night and Western Michigan the next. We're also going to, well, for me, I'm going to call Florida this year an official checkoff on the box, because we go every year, but I always tell my wife it doesn't count. This year it counts. She's done with that. We're going to Kent State, Georgia Tech, and we're also ending the year at Ohio State, the Michigan State-Ohio State game.
Well, yeah, not a bad way to end the season there. Wow.
Yeah.
That should be good. Awesome. Al Botta, Jared Singer, collegefootballquest.com. Thank you guys so much for the time.
Thank you. Todd, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you know the term living the dream? I'm pretty sure it was invented for those two guys right there. Hal Botta, Jared Singer, living the dream that we all wish we could do. They get the award for best wives, I think, possibly in sports. Those wives are very understanding, allowing those guys to sneak away every weekend in the fall. Very cool. So check them out, collegefootballquest.com. Time to make some more predictions as we close out our college football preview spectacular. I hinted at it a little bit. I think the ACC is the team that's left out of the college football playoff this year. Notre Dame, I don't think, is going to be as strong as some people are giving them credit for. So that leaves us with the SEC, the Big 12, the Big 10, the Pac-12. So there I've got Bama, TCU, USC, and Ohio State. Don't know how they're all going to fit in there, who's going to play